Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, you would have to probably have your head buried in the sand or be living on an island somewhere not to know about Facebook, the social networking service that was launched in February of 2004. Of course, it was founded by Mark Zuckerberg with his college roommates and a fellow Harvard University student by the name of Eduardo Severin. The website's membership was initially limited by the founders, rather, to Harvard students, but it was very quickly expanded to other colleges in the Boston area, the Ivy League itself, and gradually most universities in the United States and Canada, and then to corporations, to the point where by September of 2006, everyone with a valid email address was able to get on Facebook, provided they met the age requirement of being at least 13 years of age. Well, friends, from those humble beginnings, Facebook now averages 1.3 billion users a day. That's billion with a B. And an average of 5 new profiles created every second. Over 300 million photos are posted daily. And there are over 83 million fake profiles on Facebook. And then this fascinating piece of information. I think you'll find this statistic interesting. The average time spent per day on Facebook is approximately 20 minutes, and 42% of business owners say that Facebook is absolutely critical for their business success, which brings us to the theme of our program today, Facebook versus First Amendment freedom. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Dave Kistler, and I'm joined today by our entire team. Gary Dahl is here. Sam Rohr is here. And we have a recurring guest with us, a very special guest today that can speak with incredible specificity on our theme today, Facebook versus First Amendment freedom. His name is Tom Wallace. He is the president, founder of Fortress of Faith. And Tom, we're going to bring you in the first segment. I want to welcome you to the program. Thank you for being aboard. We have some vitally important things to discuss.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's always a joy to be on the radio program with you guys. By the way, you guys are doing a tremendous service to our nation, speaking truth and informing people and standing for our Christian rights. God bless you guys.
Well, Tom, we feel the same way about you. You're a dear friend, ministry partner. We are joined at the hip in many, many ways, ministerially and philosophically. We appreciate you so, so very much. Tom, you have, and when I say you have, I mean by that your ministry, Fortress of Faith, has been recently banned from Facebook. Now, I have a couple of questions I want to start out with right out of the chute. Number one, when did this happen? And much more importantly, why did this happen?
Okay, well, about 5 days ago, maybe more, but close to about a week, I went to post some more information on our Facebook page, Fortress of Faith Radio. We have about over 40,000 people who come to our website every day for information on Islam, to give a Christian apologetic argument against it, a Christian response. And we have many followers on Facebook as well. And it's been a great opportunity for us to share the truth and expose Islam. So I've been doing this for a number of years now, and we had a bit of a following. And I went to make a post. And I got an alert there that my page was in violation of Facebook policy. Basically, the verbiage was, you know, we're trying to create a safe and friendly environment. Hate speech is forbidden. And basically, I had broken their policy for hate speech. And I'm like, really? So opposing speech to, giving critical thought to another person's ideology, a religion, a teaching, is hate speech now. And so basically they said that I've been unpublished. And there's a little button that you can push to appeal. Well, naturally, I pushed that thinking, well, hold on a minute, you know, someone made a mistake here, right? And through the appeal, which is actually a joke, There's no recourse, nothing to say, here's the post that we thought was hate speech or anything like that. Nothing, no recourse, just we were removed completely.
Well, Tom, let me go just a little bit further with you, if I can, on that. Let's go to the natural next question. Do you know of anyone else with whom you're familiar on this subject of Islam and informing people, or anything else, frankly, that have been removed from Facebook? Or are you perhaps the first one that you know of?
Well, as far as being completely removed, I don't know of anyone else at this point, but I do know of groups like Jihad Watch, my friend Robert Spencer. In fact, I just had him on my radio program this morning. And he was telling me that as of a few months ago, they've been experiencing a severe drop. They've not been removed or banned, but they have been shadow blocked. Now, shadow blocking is when Facebook feels some content on there that they don't approve of. They don't allow it to be shared and links being provided, you know, in that post. And so it doesn't really get passed around the Facebook community. When they used to have about 20,000 visitors to their website each day coming from Facebook, it dropped down to about 200, severe drop. So now this happened a few months ago. And so, you know, we were discussing also their legal options, and we'll talk about that later, I guess. But to answer your question, Sam, no, I don't know of anyone else who's been completely banned and taken off, you know, because they have Christian content like this. But there has been a change in Facebook's agenda, and I guess we'll get into that as we continue on this subject.
Tom, this is Gary, and of course, it's a delight to have you back on the program, and we're rapidly running out of time for this segment, and you probably don't have the time to answer it, but maybe this can help us to segue even into the next segment, and that's the fact that you've had trouble well before this in the past with respect to some of your materials on Islam, and that's not a surprise to any of us who understand how Islam is trying to silence Christianity and so forth. But perhaps when we come back, you can explain to our listeners what happened when you tried to get some of your materials on Islam across the Canadian border. I mean, your home church is right there close to Canada. You had some struggles with that, and maybe when we can come back, you can address that briefly, if you don't mind, sir.
Yes, sir. Be glad to. Thank you.
Gary, that is a great question, and we will come to that, friends, when we come back from the break. I want to just mention this, Tom. You know as well as Sam and Gary that we posted a billboard here in North Carolina dealing with Islam, and I can promise you this, Facebook, if they do try to limit hate speech, they sure did nothing to try to limit the hate speech that came our way. The things that were posted on Facebook, the comments that were there were unbelievable. If that's not hate speech, I don't know what is, and I can almost guarantee you none of those people suffered any consequences for the incredible things they said. But now, Tom, you have been removed. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk further with Tom about this. You're not going to believe another group has been banned as well.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, there is another group that is being attacked and labeled a hate group in addition to Fortress of Faith and Tom Wallace. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But Tom, Gary posed a question to you as we were going into the break that I would really love for you to answer. I know you had some difficulties at the Canadian border with some of your materials a number of years ago. Can you share very briefly with us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, let me first, though, say, because it might be, that I am bombastic with my message and rude and crude and mean. Folks, we don't go that way. The Bible tells us that we're to speak the truth in love, that we're to give no offense to the ministry, be not blamed. We're not to return evil for evil. And so, you know, that's not our message. We just simply put out the truth we speak the truth with love. And so two of my DVDs that I produced, Islam, the Coming Judgment, and Understanding Islam, we were sending them up to our dropshipper up in Canada. My pastor actually was doing me a favor and taking a box load of those things up there. And one of the guards there seized the material as hate speech. There you go, hate speech. Again, that's the label. That's what the liberals are throwing at you. If they don't like your content, they're going to call it hate speech to shut you down, and seized it, threatened my pastor with arrest if he ever came up again with those materials, and held him for 7 hours, and finally released them. They wrote us about 2 weeks later, no apology, but said that there was no hate content in the material and allowed it to go forward. But basically what they did, they hassled us.
Well, Tom, I'm very much aware of that situation. I remember you shared some of that with me, and I know you, and of course, Sam and Gary know you well. Anybody that knows you are anything but a bombastic, a caustic, belligerent individual. In fact, you are one of the most gracious, godly, reasoned men out there, and certainly you are one of the best totally in the United States of America, around the world, dealing with the topic of Islam because of the way you approach it, and you are very loving in the way you deal with Muslim people. You are direct when it comes to Islamic ideology, but we're very direct on this program as well, as people should be who understand anything about Islam itself. Well, I want to shift gears here for just a minute because we want to go a little further. The Southern Poverty Law Center has attacked a prominent religious liberty organization, labeling it as not only anti-LGBT, but also labeling it a hate group. This past week, Attorney General Jeff Sessions spoke at a conference organized and held by this organization. And of course, the organization is called Alliance Defending Freedom. And the Christian Legal Aid Group fired back this past Thursday in a statement criticizing both the Southern Poverty Law Center as well as media coverage. And primarily, they were talking about an ABC hit piece that, according to ADF, cut and pasted false charges and used the Southern Poverty Law Center's very charged rhetoric. Here's the statement that came from ADF. Alliance Defending Freedom is one of the most respected and successful Supreme Court advocates in the legal profession, having won 7 cases at the High Court in the last 7 years. And friends, all of that is true. Of course, if you don't know much about ADF, it is a 2,000 attorney strong entity that defends religious liberty cases like that of Aaron and Melissa Klein, the cake bakers in Oregon. And friends, I will say this unequivocally, they are anything but a hate group. Sam, I want to go to you first before we come back to Tom. It appears as if there is an incredibly insidious game plan going on right now. Number one, attack religious ministries like Tom and Fortress of Faith, go after them, and then simultaneously now attack and go after those who can and probably will defend people like Tom Wallace and Fortress of Faith in court. And I'm talking about ADF and entities like that. So it seems to be a two-pronged attack to try to stop the ministries from speaking the truth and then stop those who would defend them in court. What do you think, Sam?
Well, Dave, I think it's very safe to draw the conclusion that, in fact, it is a strategic move by a number of these groups that have been given to, as they say, keep their eye on. Let me just tell you, I'm looking at the website here right now, and their goal is to keep their eyes on those they say are part of the American radical right. They say their goal is to monitor and expose the activities of the American radical right. Well, that's interesting, Dave, because when you look at their site, and I'm looking at it right now, there are three major areas that they pick out. One is what they term the organized anti-Muslim movement, which is an inaccurate thing. Attacking the ideology or exposing the ideology of Islam and the Quran and the Muhammad is not the same thing as being anti-Muslim. Do you see what they're doing? They are turning and twisting. They also are very big on posting those who are opposed to the LGBT agenda. Those are the two themes that dominate their website. It clearly is appearing that they are walking down the road, Dave, of identifying those who are exposing the areas where these two groups really attack and attend to undermine the Constitution of the United States. That's where I think this is going. They are working together on it. It's not coincidental. It can't not be.
You know, it almost appears to me, fellows, as though that, this organization, Southern Poverty Law Center, is taking the place of the ACLU. In years past, the ACLU seemed to be on the front line of standing against Christianity and those who are standing up for biblical principles. But more and more now, we are seeing the SPLC taking that particular position. And I think it's an indication to us how that as we draw closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to have to become stronger in our defense, knowing how to stand up for the biblical truth, because there are going to be those out there who will attempt to suppress us and to silence us. I hate to bring that up at this point, but I think it's something that we need to recognize, and folks, those of you who are listening, need to be aware of that. But I want to go back to you, Tom, if I may, with regard to your particular Facebook. You'd mentioned in the last segment that there's really no recourse for getting back on your Facebook page for your ministry. And it's your ministry, not your personal Facebook page. So what is your plan of attack on this at this particular point as you see it?
Well, what was interesting, as I was talking with Robert Spencer, who really has a much larger net than I've got on the internet, he too was trying to sue Facebook and Twitter for this shadow blocking, for trying to block their content from being shared. And he has learned, and I don't know how accurate this is. We need to talk with this with our lawyers on this, but he has learned that Obama has protected Facebook and Twitter, made them exempt from prosecution for censoring people's speech. Now, I don't know if this is done because of an executive order that President Obama put out there. If so, Trump could overturn that. Or if this was when he turned the control of the Internet away from the guardianship of America, which had the First Amendment providing its protections to foreign entities, whoever these entities were. I don't know, but it may be that these people are exempt to do whatever they like to choose. You know, and I think we need to recognize Facebook is a private organization, but they operate speech of American citizens. And I think that we still should be allowed our constitutional rights.
Well, Tom, I think you are correct. Let's go here. Dave brought out a point earlier that that for business owners in particular, 42% of them, which is not far off from 0.5%, say that being on Facebook is critical to their existence, their success, how they are doing. And I'm not sure whether you want to say how it's affected or not, but I'd got to believe that there's got to have been some effect on your ministry by them taking you off. Now, that's obviously their goal. We don't want to reward them by saying on the air that they have harmed what you're doing, but say what you want to say on that, because we got a lot of issues of concern about this, but let's talk to that part right there. What have you seen? Have you heard from people positively or negatively, perhaps because you are not there now?
Well, it may be a little too early to tell, for us to gauge that. But and also, too, we've had the unfortunate situation of where our website crashed, our servers crashed this last week. Now, we don't think that it was malicious. We have very stringent security protocols there because we have been hacked in the past. this seems to be just a glitch. But now that that's been down, we're having to do some rebuilding. And so I'm not able to measure. I don't have my tools to measure how our traffic has been through this. But when we do get back online and see where we're at, you know, we'll see some probably a drop in that, no doubt. I expect that. But also there is a financial loss to us because we invested in consultants to get our Facebook page up and going and getting traffic, you know, people coming to it. And so, you know, there is an investment that we put, you know, not large, but in the thousands. And it, you know, so there is some financial loss to us here.
Well, Tom, we're going to be talking with you more about this following the break. But friends, when we come back, not only are we going to delve deeper into this topic of Facebook versus First Amendment freedom, we're going to specifically talk about where this quote unquote hate speech agenda is going to take us. And should pastors, churches, should they be at all concerned? And much more important than that, should you as an individual, as a follower of Jesus Christ, should you be concerned that you'll no longer be able to live your faith publicly or privately? Where is all this going? That's going to be our topic of discussion when we come back from this brief timeout on Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. We're discussing today Facebook versus First Amendment freedom, and we're going to be talking about where all this is headed momentarily, but I think we have a caller on the line. If Mac is there, Mac, I know you had a point you wanted to make, and it's going to factor into a point I want to make. So if you're there, Mac, welcome to the program. Make your comment or make your point and state your comment if you would. Mac, are you aboard? Well, let's do this. Let me see if we can get Mac, and once we do, we'll maybe get him on. But, gentlemen, there was a great article written late last week by Dr. Don Boies, who is a former Indiana House of Representatives member. He has been the administrator of a large Christian school in the Indianapolis area, and he has written for USA Today for about 8 years. He's authored 16 books and hundreds of columns and articles for internet and print media publications. And he said something in an article he wrote, totally unrelated to what Tom has faced, but yet related indirectly, some things about where we're headed in America with this hate speech terminology, hate speech legislation, hate crimes, and all of that. Let me just read a portion of what he had to say. All informed people know that hate crime legislation is a tragic reality in Canada, Europe, and Muslim nations, but who would have thought that it would occur in America? Furthermore, Europe has been pursuing the persecution of thought crimes for many years. Canada is a nation that has traveled this road where it is illegal to criticize homosexuals, transgenders, Muslims, and others in public. When I crossed the border, I could be arrested or at least refused entrance because of some of my books dealing with homosexuality and Islam. And by the way, friends, if you're just joining us, let me remind you, this is Don Boies, not Tom Wallace that we are talking about, though Tom has experienced some of the same things that happened with his materials at the Canadian border. I'm going to pick up reading again. A comedian in Canada was fined $42,000 for telling a joke about a disabled child. All right, it was crass and cruel, but it was not criminal. Recently, Canada even passed a law making it a crime to use the wrong pronouns when speaking of people. You could be fined, jailed, and forced to endure an anti-bias training course if you refuse to swallow the progressive gender nonsense. Last week, a Canadian landlord was fined $12,000 for not removing his shoes when he entered his apartment, his rental apartment of a Muslim couple who owed him rent. He showed hate and was offensive, according to the charges, by not removing his shoes. Now, there's a lot more I could read, but Sam, I want to go to you before we come back to Tom. This has been going on in Canada for a long time. I have friends that minister in Canada. Tom Wallace has friends that minister in Canada. He knows perhaps some of what I'm going to say here that have been charged with hate crimes for their comments from their pulpits about the LGBT lifestyle, about the Islamic ideology, and so on. Sam, it would appear to me, and you've served in the Pennsylvania legislature, you've been in and around government for a long time, you know how this operates. It would appear to me that America is at least, if not further down the road than that, we're at least on the front end of beginning to go precisely that direction if something does not dramatically change. Your thoughts?
Dave, we are. And that should be the concern of everyone who's listening to this program. Once you get into the area of determining the value, let's put it this way, the acceptability of certain statements based on, when you get right down to it, a worldview. That's what you're talking about. Underneath these things, from the pulpit, talking about human sexuality, talking about ideologies that have a view of God and Jesus Christ that is anti-Bible, as Islam does. What this is attack on, and people need to understand, Dave, this is an attack on God himself in an attempt to muzzle the proclamation of the truth, moral truth, as it regards the elements of life and living that God has established, the things surrounding the Ten Commandments. True, things are true or untrue. The human sexuality has talked about that life. And in this case, Islam, it's very interesting that what the Southern Poverty Law Center has focused on, they call it anti-Muslim mentality, and LGB items are the same ones you're talking about in Canada. And Dave, once a nation throws off God and throws off biblical truth and a biblical worldview, which underpins our constitutional amendments and our free First Amendment speech, Dave, when that's thrown off, this is exactly what happens. People need to wake up or we're going to lose soon our ability to communicate the gospel and the truth.
Well, it really sounds to me, doesn't it, Sam and Dave and Tom as well, as though the thought police are out there. And, of course, that's going to become more and more of an issue as time goes on. But Tom, to you, once again, as it relates to this matter with your Facebook site, this often appears to be a Muslim issue that we're facing today. And particularly as it relates to Facebook, we find that Facebook users can criticize, demonize, attempt to criminalize Christians over and over again, but they're never punished. However, when it comes down to speaking truth about Islam, and we know you, this has already been emphasized, you love Muslims. You try to teach them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes down to Islam, when anything is said against it, it's considered hate speech. From your understanding of what's going on, why would you think that that's the case, Tom?
Muslims are never allowed to criticize Muhammad or Allah. This is simple. Islam means submit, surrender, just obey, get in line, do what you're told, and no one's allowed to ask questions about that. So certainly not non-Muslims, too. I mean, they don't allow it of their own. They will not allow it of non-Muslims. One thing that needs to come to light here, 2 weeks ago, the vice president of Facebook, Joe Kaplan, met with the interior minister of Pakistan. And as an agreement of that meeting, he promised them that they would begin to curtail anti-Islam material input on Facebook, that would be starting to be removed. And so we may be of many who are being thrown out. And so, I wanted to make that clear that this has become the agenda of Facebook to be the protectors of Islam. They will allow Islamic doctrine to be taught, but those who oppose it are going to be banned, and we're going to call that hate speech, and you have no recourse. And so we're going to try to take it to the courts to say that we do have recourse, and hopefully we'll be able to fight it there. Have I lost you guys?
No, I'm here. I don't know where they are, Tom. Dave, are you there? Sam?
All right, I'm back here. We're having technical difficulties, evidently, ladies and gentlemen, so we apologize for that. We don't have the answer to that question at that point why that is. But, Dave, are you back here now?
I am, Sam.
Okay.
We yield to you, sir.
Well, gentlemen... Well, thank you, guys. I'm not sure. We had a little technical glitch there, and I'm not sure where we left and what the final comment was. But, gentlemen, let me just go here, because this is an issue of great concern, because in Canada and in much of Europe, there is not just the policing of speech. There is now what appears to be the policing of thought. And Sam, again, I want to go to you, because you have served in the legislature in Pennsylvania. You've moved in and out of Washington, D.C. for a long time. Sam, we are not all that far away with this policing of what Tom posts via his ministry Facebook page. We are not far from getting to the point where our thoughts, our intentions, not just our actions, are going to be policed. There are a lot of things that are wrong if they're an action, but we're on incredibly thin ice, an incredibly dangerous place if people are going to try to prevent people from thinking certain things. Comment on that if you would.
Let me bring up one point that ties in very close to what you're talking about. When government, those in a position of controlling the flow of communication, when they believe that they can monitor or evaluate the quality or the acceptability of what is being said, then, Dave, it also is there that they will go beyond that, as we know that was actually proposed by Barack Obama during his administration. He actually talked about having detention centers, if people remember this, where they believe that they could actually go beyond and actually predict the actions of people based on what they thought they knew, worldview issues. And they called it preventative detention. I don't know if all of you remember that, but that's where this goes. It's actually to the point of saying, well, we not only know who you are, we know what you're saying, and we believe that's going to be a problem effectively to our agenda. And matter of fact, we can also predict who is going to take and do whatever it is that they're going to do. Dave, this is the worst form of censorship, the undercutter of freedom and freedom of speech. This is beyond serious.
Well, friends, it is beyond serious. And when we come back from this next break, we're going to be talking about what must be done by our elected officials to correct the path that we are on. But more importantly, what must you do to protect your First Amendment speech rights and make sure that they are never taken away from us? Friends, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, Gary Dull, our special guest, Tom Wallace. Join us again this vitally important solution segment after this brief timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, our topic today is Facebook and our First Amendment freedoms. Our special guest is Tom Wallace of Fortress of Faith. Tom has had his ministry Facebook page banned from Facebook because, according to Facebook, it contains, quote-unquote, hate speech or hate material. Tom, I want to go to you at the start of this final segment. We call it our solution segment. What are you doing currently, if you can share with us what you're doing? What are you prepared to do from a legal standpoint to try to get your Facebook page reinstated? And where do you think all this is going long term for you?
Okay, well, I mean, the battle lines have been drawn. I think we need to realize that Christians are going to be attacked more and more, and our speech is going to be restricted, prohibited, and we must fight this. So we're going to take this to court. At least try to, and see if there's a remedy there against these giant media, social media outlets there. But can I just say quickly also something about what Sam had said in the last segment? I think this is reminiscent of the Hitler's days when they start throwing people into prison, those that they oppose, that they, you know, their opinion they don't like, and they throw them into prison. So. I think that we may be moving this that direction if we don't put our foot down in that area. So what we need to do, we need to get this message out. We need to spread it that Christian groups are being prohibited from their freedom of speech, and we're not going to stand for it. And so we need to, pass the word along and use whatever avenues that we can in doing that.
Sam, this is reminiscent of something that happened with the IRS scandal and Lois Lerner, how conservative groups, religious groups were being targeted and their request for 501c3 status was being either delayed or denied. Sam, what can be done, if anything? What should be done, if anything, with respect to legislation to protect our First Amendment rights? Or do we just do as Tom said, do we just scream out loudly because we already have in place laws, we have a Declaration of Independence, we have a United States Constitution, a First Amendment thereof, that provides for us protections in these areas. So bottom line, what can be done, what should be done?
Dave, there needs to be a multi-level approach. Number one, first thing that people need to become aware of, that this is happening. This unbelievable targeting, that's what this is. This is purely 100% discrimination. This is harassment based on how one views life. This is not anything related to what is prosecutable under normal law, such as harming somebody when you go and you hit them or you harm them in that fashion or you harm somebody's property. This is in the realm of thought and ideas. And when pressure is brought to bear to discriminate against a moral view of life, human sexuality, or in this case of matter of Islam, the fact that how an ideology views Jesus Christ, God of the Bible, the Constitution of these United States, this is not anything that's a matter of prosecution under just law. Therefore, people have got to be aware that, yes, we could lose our freedom in this country, number one. Number two, understand what is at attack. What's under attack is an ideology and, again, God's view of morality. And thirdly, it is the attack of our constitutional rule of law, which gives us the right to be able to discuss these things. Now, beyond that, legally wise, the Justice Department, I think, under Attorney General Jeff Sessions, is going to need to be somehow brought into this matter. Because even though Facebook is private, it's not private as in it's not public. It may not be a government-run entity, but it's no more private than NBC, CBS, or any of the networks. And therefore, they need to abide by those same laws. So, Dave, there is a role for the legislation piece of it. But right now, this is information getting people awakened to the fact that our liberties are under direct assault.
Tom, taking off of what Sam said there, we need to encourage our people to wake up. My question is, to wake up to what? Don't you see that this is, there's a broader case, a broader scenario, a broader issue here? You know, we talk about the government doing this. We talk about the liberal administrators of Facebook doing that and so forth and so on. But don't we need to wake up to the fact that we are in a spiritual battle and that it's not the government that's going to solve this? It's not individuals doing certain things in the flesh to solve it. But we need to bring this thing back into the hands of God, even as David did when he fought Goliath back there in the Old Testament. I'm just wondering what your thoughts might be on that, if you would please, Tom.
Well, yeah, actually, I'm going to be releasing my video here soon, Five Solutions to Islamic Terrorism. And we kind of get down to the nuts and bolts on that, that really what this is, we're fighting not just Islamic ideology and terrorism against our country, but we're also fighting an ideology that is supporting them. And that's the rebellion. You know, we might call them liberals, we might call them radicals, we might call them progressives. No, really what they are, they're rebels. They're rebelling against God. There's a message out there that's rebelling against Christianity, against the God of heaven, that this nation was built upon, its laws and its principles, and they're rebelling against it. So we are their enemies, or they're the enemies of truth, and they're fighting against us because we are defending God's truth. And so, yeah, it is a spiritual battle, and only God can build this house, not us. You know, we need a fight for that, but God must prevail, and we must turn to him for our strength in that. Amen. I believe.
And if I could follow up, guys, and I agree with you gentlemen both completely. However, I want to just add this component in before, Gary, I ask you to take us to the throne of grace in prayer, praying for Tom and for this entire situation. While it is, the battle is the Lord's, we understand that. At the same time, as Paul was a Roman citizen in Acts 22, and he took advantage of his Roman citizenship, appealing to it when he had been unjustly treated. At the same time, Tom, you have every right, as I know you fully understand, to deal with this and seek the appropriate legal action to make sure that this totally unjust action against you by Facebook is corrected, and is corrected quickly, and is corrected thoroughly, because it's not just you, Tom Wallace. It's not Sam Rohr. It's not Dave Kistler. It's not American Pastors Network. It's not Gary Dull. It's the whole of the Christian faith, the whole of Christianity, and the Christian message that the attempt now is to stifle it, to stymie it, and then to remove any recourse when we have been treated unjustly, from being able to defend ourselves in a legal context. So, Tom, we're praying for you, my friend, and I want Gary to take us to the throne of grace to pray specifically about this, as well as the larger issue of religious liberty in America. Gary, if you would.
Okay, Tom, certainly we will be praying for you. And, Father, as we come to your throne of grace, yes, indeed, we do come on behalf of Tom Wallace. What a tremendous ministry he has. And I would just ask, Lord, that you would expand his ministry, expand his voice, whether it's through Facebook or some other means, but give him even a larger footprint for Christ in this society in which we live, so that through him and through others like him, the ultimate absolute truth of Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life might get out there to all who would hear it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, friends, you've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. We're going to take a 23-hour break. Please join us tomorrow for an amazing program that you will not hear anywhere else. What God has done in the past, what he's doing in the future with respect to his people. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's program on Stand in the Gap today. And until then, stand up for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.